You're now entering the fifth week of Lent. Next Sunday, we will celebrate Palm Sunday, the entrance into Holy Week. And we've been on this journey for these 5 weeks. Perhaps we fall into a couple of different camps regarding our Lenten resolutions. Perhaps right now we're saying, oh, I had Lenten resolutions. What were my Lenten resolutions? Perhaps some of us remember them and we're like, oh, haven't really fulfilled much of them. And perhaps some of us would feel like, yes, victory this year. I finally fulfilled at least one of them. We've been walking through this time, struggling, walking with the Lord. And today the liturgy presents us with this shadow of the cross, but also with the hope of the resurrection. Jesus wants to give us hope today. He doesn't want to give us this thin, uncertain hope, something ethereal. Jesus isn't for us just some guru or some sage or someone that had some interesting things to say. Jesus is truly a friend. And that's what we see in this gospel. And Jesus sometimes does things that confuse his friends. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And Jesus receives this message. And the message was very simple. The one you love is sick. And our expectation would be, well, Jesus is obviously going to respond. He's going to go right away. And it says, because Jesus loved him, he stayed there for 2 more days. And the guy died. Wait a second, Jesus. What's going on here? And he gives us a little bit of a key to the interpretation of that. He tells his disciples, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you might believe. Every miracle, everything that Jesus does in our lives has one single purpose: to lead us to belief in him, to lead us to hope in him, to lead us to love in him. And Jesus wants to show us today that he is a friend. And Jesus loved people, not just people in general, not just humanity in general. He loves each person, and we see this in this relationship that he has with his family at Bethany, with Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And Bethany was for Jesus a place of rest, a place he could go and be with his friends. When things got heated in Jerusalem, when the Pharisees were after him, when things were tense, he would go and hang out with these three. It was a place where he could relax and laugh and be human, at the same time, divine. We could say these were his people, together with his disciples. The one you love is sick. And it's such a beautiful petition because it shows so much trust. It's like a child who cries out in the night, Mom, I'm thirsty. Dad, I'm scared. It's just a presenting of the needs that they have. And that's the invitation that Jesus makes to us. He invites us, bring your needs, bring your challenges, bring what's on your heart to me, and trust. Trust that I will do the best thing for you. And we see how Jesus treats Martha and Mary and Lazarus in different ways. He knows each one of them. Just as he knows each one of us, he knows what we need. He knows how to speak to our hearts, to speak to the true needs that we have. And we see it first in Martha. Martha is the one that goes out to meet him. Just to set the stage a little bit, we have Martha and Mary from the famous gospel passage earlier, where Jesus is over for dinner, Martha's cooking and cleaning and doing everything, and Mary is just sitting at Jesus' feet, just taking it all in, just learning from Jesus, listening to the stories, listening to his teaching. And Martha, they had such confidence in Jesus that Martha goes, hey, Jesus, can you tell my sister to get her act together and help me out a little bit? I mean, she's just there hanging out with you, and she left all the work to me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're busy and worried about so many things. Mary has chosen the better part. And he defends Mary, and Martha's like, but they were still friends afterward. So Jesus said something to her and helped her to understand this depth. But he speaks to each one. Martha needed reasons. Martha needed to speak to the head. So Martha runs out when she hears that Jesus is coming. And she says this phrase that's powerful. Because it's at once a tremendous act of confidence, and at the same time, it's a very subtle but powerful complaint to the Lord. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. It's a trust and a confidence in Jesus saying, Jesus, you have this power. If you would have been here, you could have saved my brother. But at the same time, there's a sadness to it. If you had been here, you could have saved my brother. And then Martha brings up her faith, but it's a faith that she's expressing with her intellect. And she says, I believe it in the resurrection. I know that at the last day he will come. And Jesus looks at her and he's knowing what he's going to do. And he looks at Martha and gives her this confidence and says, yes, your brother will rise at the end of time. But I am the resurrection and the life. I want to be his resurrection and his life here today. Hold on a second and I will show you. And Martha renews her act of faith, perhaps an intellectual faith. And then we have Mary. Mary has stayed back at the house. So Martha sends for Mary. And now Mary comes running out with a group of friends that were with her. And it's interesting because Mary says exactly the same thing. They must have spoken beforehand. I'm sure there was something that was going back and forth over dinner. Martha and Mary like, you know, if Jesus would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Mary's like, yeah, if Jesus would have been here, he wouldn't have died. So Mary goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. The same confidence, perhaps a different question. Because what does Mary do after this? It says, and she wept. And what is Jesus' response? Well, you know, Mary. No. Jesus knows that what Mary needs in this moment is for him to weep with her. And that's what he does. Said he was perturbed in the spirit. The literal Greek is he snorted in the spirit. It's just this revulsion against death. This deep sadness over the loss of his friend. That he knows as God that he's going to raise him from the dead. But he feels that sadness. He's truly God and truly man. He wants this relationship with each one of them, and he wants a relationship with each one of us. And he weeps. He reaches out to Martha and Mary exactly where they are, and he knows exactly where each one of us are right now. He knows whether we need reasons for our faith or whether we need just Jesus to come and weep with us or someone that he sends. In these beautiful readings, in the first reading and the second reading from the Old Testament and the New Testament, Ezekiel, with his confidence in the resurrection, a new heart will be given you, new life in these places that we don't expect it. Ezekiel will talk about in another place, the dry bones that come to life. The whole of Scripture is about finding life in these places where it seems like life couldn't be, and God brings life in there. Jesus brings a life through his resurrection. And then we have this final moment of encounter where Jesus goes out to the tomb. He's weeping, he's perturbed in the face of death, perhaps in the face of his own death in this challenge. And he comes to the tomb and he tells them to remove the stone. And Martha, being very practical, says, Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. If you take away that stone, there's going to be a stench. This isn't going to be good. And Jesus, with his confidence in his prayer to the Father, says, remove the stone. And then he says this beautiful phrase, Lazarus, come out. Why is it a beautiful phrase? Because he knows his name. And he invites him to come out from death, to come out from the tomb that he's been holed up in. And this isn't an invitation just for Lazarus. Put your name there. Your name in Lazarus's place. Come out. Sin and so many things in our lives take us to these places of death. Original sin has deadened things within us. Our own personal sins deaden things within us. And Jesus, with his power and with his strength and with the power of the resurrection, comes to the places that we're hiding, the parts of us that we're hiding, and says to us, come out. Come into the life. Come into the light. Come into the resurrection. I will be your life. And he invites Lazarus to come out. It's an interesting detail that he comes out and he's still bound. He needs to be unbound. And a priest one time, trying to figure out, okay, so how did he actually come out? Was he kind of like hopping out because he still had his legs bound? And don't go into the details of that. And he got out somehow. Maybe he rolled out. But he was still bound. And that often happens to us. We have a moment of conversion. The Lord reaches us. Whether it's a flash, whether it's a slow burn conversion, but we still need to be unbound. We still need to be freed. And the Lord calls us out and calls us into the church, calls us to receive the sacraments. There's so many different ways that we are unbound. A beautiful way during this Lenten season is also through confession, to be unbound through confession. Jesus speaks of this binding and unbinding when he gives the power to the disciples in his name to forgive sins. But there's also an unbinding through friendship, an unbinding through community, unbinding in so many different ways that we're freed from these bounds of sin that keep us in death, that would pull us back. So Jesus today invites us to come out of those tombs, to come out of the places where we might still be hiding. And it's so beautiful how Jesus saves through friendship. And these three people that we've contemplated today, in Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he's reached each of them exactly where they were. And that's not just for them. It's not just for us to have some nostalgia that, yeah, it would be great to live in the time of Jesus and have that happen to me and have him call out my name. He does. Because he's alive today. And what he wants to speak to each one of us is the same thing that he spoke to Martha, to Mary, and to Lazarus. I am your resurrection. I am your life.